All right, I got a lot to go over, so not a lot of time to do it. Proverbs 29:25. Let's start there. This is going to be kind of like the pivoting verse of the message. We're going to pivot everything on this one right here. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. We're going to look at the life of Abraham tonight, and we're going to look at how the fear of man caused a lot of trouble in his life. I wrote a paper one time in school called The Faithless, Faithful Abraham. Because if you've ever read the life of Abraham, he has a lot of moments where it looked like he didn't have much faith at all. All right, right here in the start, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, right in the start of Abraham's life, he starts off with fearing man. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country." Now that, his country was Ur of the Chaldeans. He says, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Did Abraham do that? Well, he kind of did that. He did leave, but he didn't do it exactly how God told him to do it. And a lot of people miss this because they just start at chapter 12 when they're reading the story of Abraham. But if you look back in chapter 11, starting in verse 31, it says, "And Terah," that's the father of Abraham, "and Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife," or Abram's wife, "and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan, and they went as far as Haran and settled there." Now, this is how I see the fear of man interrupting Abraham's life. Now, the fear of man happens in many different ways in our life, and it could have happened in several different ways in this scenario. We don't know for sure how it happened, but it could have been a scenario where it was an emotional thing, where Abraham was like, I keep calling him Abraham, at this point he's Abram, but you know what I'm saying. Abram was like, I love my father, I love my nephew, I love my family, so I'll do what God tells me, but I don't want to leave them. This fear of loneliness, the fear of going out on your own without your family. At this point, Terah, his father, would have been like the head of their tribe. We see that in verse 31, that when it says that Terah took them, they went with Terah. He was the head of the tribe. But God was telling Abram, to leave his father's house. He was wanting to make him the head of a tribe. To leave your country, to leave your relatives, to leave your father's house. So this fear may have looked like an emotional thing where he didn't want to leave his family. Or it may have been where, I don't know how Terah was, but he may have been afraid of his father. It may have been an issue where he didn't feel like he could really stand up to his father and say, "Dad, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm going out on my own now. I'm leaving you here." He may have felt afraid to say that to Terah, the fear of man. So what problems, right here in the beginning, do we see this caused Abraham? Well, first off, it caused Abraham to disobey God. He disobeyed God because he took his family with him. And that delayed him from being where God wanted him to be. If you look in back in verse 31, it says, because he took his family with him, it says, and they went as far as Haran and they settled there. So he was supposed to be going to Canaan. But they settled in Haran because probably his father's health. Because look in verse 32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So they didn't end up leaving Haran. Abraham didn't leave Haran until his father died there. But the two things that the fear of man caused in Abraham's life right here off the bat was it caused him to disobey God, number one. And it delayed him from being where God wanted him to be. Interesting fact, the name Terah actually means, in the Hebrew, delay. If we only would just look at these names and would just... That should have told him something, right? All right, so I want to stick on the relationship of him bringing his family with him before I move on. Lot. He also brought Lot with him. That was his nephew. So we're going to skip a story real quick in the life of Abraham, and we're going to go to that story. And we know the story of Lot and the problems that that caused in Abraham's life. It caused strife between his people and Lot's people. And they got into Canaan, and their men were fighting and fussing. It caused unwanted strife in Abraham's life. And then what happened? Lot ended up leaving. He finally left. He went into Sodom. And he was captured in the middle of a war. And Abraham had to get his people, and they had to go into an unwanted war, a battle that they wouldn't have had to fight if he would not have brought his nephew along with him. But now they're having to go and fight an unnecessary battle, all because of the fear of man. So with the story of Terah, we see that the fear of man causes you to disobey God. It causes you a delay from being where God wants you to be. With Lot, we see it caused Abraham unwanted strife. And it caused him to fight an unnecessary battle. Now, we're going to go back a story in the story of Abraham, back to chapter 12. Now, what happened when Terah died? So they went on to Canaan, but Canaan, at that point, there were people in that land. So they ended up leaving, and there was a famine in the land. So because there was a famine, Abraham, he was the leader of the pack. He was the head of this tribe. He had the responsibility to take care of them. So he said, okay, we're going to go to Egypt. We're going to have food there. We'll have shelter there. So they go into Egypt. But look in verse 12. Of chapter 12 of Abraham's fear of man. He said to his wife, and it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Excuse me. Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with you because of you, and that I may live on account of you. Now, yes, Sarai was Abraham's half-sister. So he wasn't completely telling a lie, but he wasn't telling the truth either. He wasn't saying that she was his wife. And this caused Pharaoh to take her as his wife. And this caused problems. Because of this, God plagued Egypt. And because God plagued Egypt, Pharaoh figured this thing out, and he kicked Abraham and Lot and the whole family. He said, get out of here. Y'all get out of Egypt. Now, John MacArthur notes on this passage where they kicked them out that this would have ruined, or not ruined, but at least made a dent in Abram's testimony, to his people, to his tribe. Because they were just kicked out of the good land that they were in, where they had plenty of food, and they were kicked back out into a famined land. They would have been ill with Abraham. It would have ruined his testimony to them. So with the story of Egypt, we see that the fear of man caused Abram to be dishonest, and it caused him to ruin his testimony to those people around him. But not only his testimony, but think about it. It would also ruin, in a sense, in the minds of the people that he had influence in, it would have ruined God's testimony to them. Because Abraham was all they knew about God, what he said about God. And I imagine Abraham talked about how awesome God was and how powerful God was and how you could have faith in God. And then in a moment where he had to choose faith in God or fear of man, he chose fear of man in front of all of his people, showing to them, at least, that he thought God wasn't as big as he said that he was. So one thing that I want us to understand here with what I just said, that when we in our life are presented with an opportunity of trusting God or being afraid of something, whether it be man or a circumstance, when you're putting enough worth to a situation or a person to fear them over trusting God, worship. You got that? Worship is worship. Whatever you're giving the most worth to, that's what you're worshiping. So fear is actually idolatry. You are worshiping fear. You are worshiping that which you are fearing, rather, whether that be man or a circumstance. And that's what his men would have saw in his life in this instance. And that would have ruined his testimony and God's testimony. Ishmael, this is the last story we're going to look at in the life of Abraham. And we know the problems that Ishmael caused. So Abraham has been telling his people, God has promised, I'm going to have a descendant as numerous as the stars. And his people have been hearing this probably over and over again. He's probably talked about it 100 times. I'm going to have a child. I'm going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. And I can almost see. Okay, so Abraham's pushing 100 now. So he's almost at 3 digits. So he's getting kind of old. He still doesn't have a child. I can imagine that embarrassment with the fear of man. And what are they saying about me? What are they saying about me now that I've been telling them that I'm going to have descendants as numerous as the stars and I don't even have a single child? What could they be saying? And I believe that may have influenced his decision when his wife presented the plan to lie with her maid. And that's what he did. He gave in to the fear of man, and it caused him to try and take things into his own hands. And we know what came from that, Ishmael. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 16 concerning Ishmael, and the angel's talking to his mother in verse 11. The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. And you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers." Now this is the Arab people. That is the descendants of Ishmael. These people have given the people of God strife for thousands of years. So one thing we see in this story, in the story of Ishmael and all that this caused, because of the fear of man in Abraham's life, it caused him to do things in his own power, first of all. Try to do it in his own power instead of trusting in God. And then it caused generational curses. We don't know the things that our decisions may play out in our children's lives. I've seen in my personal family genealogy many generational curses. I personally remember, I was a young boy, me and Daryl, we were best friends. And I remember sitting down with Daryl one day, and I decided to follow the Lord, and I said, "I'm going to break the generational curses." I said that word for word. I'm going to break the generational curses that in our life in the Patrick name because of the things that had been going on in the past, and it had just been horrible history. And I said, "No more for my family, for my future, for my children, for my grandchildren. It's going to be different because As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And I've strived to do that ever since. But when you fear man instead of trusting God, it can cause generational curses. All right, let's go back to that pivot point. Proverbs 29:25. And let's be reminded what it says. 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Let's go over into the New Testament. I want to look at someone's life who had this fear of man problem. He had it here, what we're about to look at, and he had it later on in his life too. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. One of the best friends of Jesus. Jesus has just been arrested. We're going to look in verse 54. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, another saw him and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Gentile too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, a cock crowed. The fear of man can lead us as far as denying Christ, as we see in the life of Peter, as we see in the life of Judas. But there was two responses also. And this is where we see hope in all of this. This is, to me, in this story, this is beautiful. This is the greatest hope for me, is let's look back in the story. Back in verse 31. Luke 22:31. This is where we see our sovereign Lord. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat." Why is this comforting to me? This is comforting to me because I'm a child of God, just like Peter was a child of God. And I know that if anything comes into my life, like what came into Peter's life, where he had the opportunity, he had the stress of being afraid of man, that if this happened to Peter only by permission from Christ, Satan had to come to Christ and demand permission for this. And see that he says, "But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." Now understand that Christ was not praying for him that he would not deny him. We know that because Christ says in verse 34, he prophesies, "You will deny me three times." But what does he say? "But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." He knew that he would deny him. He was praying for faith afterwards. We will fall. We have fallen. We have made this mistake. We have fallen prey to the fear of man in our lives many times. I know I have. And it will continue to happen. Anytime you have any type of fear or anxiety, understand that anxiety, being anxious about something, is fear. You're afraid. And most of the times that can lead back to man in some way. And when you decide to to allow that anxiety to build in you instead of trusting God and His Word. Remember, the Word says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known unto God. And the Bible assures us, God assures that He will give us a peace that passes all understanding, that it will guard our hearts. Anxiety is fear. Look with me in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now understand that Jesus told Simon, Peter, that he would pray that his faith may not fail. So what are we having faith in? What is our hope? What is our strength in the midst of fear? It is faith. Faith specifically in the love of Christ for us. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit, it depends on what version you have, a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound or disciplined mind. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4 that we love, this love that we have that has been given to us, this power and love, we only love because He first loved us, the Bible says. The Bible also says in 1 John chapter 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now in context, this is speaking of the love of Christ. This is what I want us to understand tonight. This is, if we could grasp this, look with me in the book of John chapter 15. What is our armor against the fear of man? John chapter 15. And I think I probably read this verse every time I speak or preach. It's one of my favorites. But I believe it's the gospel. Abiding in the love of Christ. Verse 7, chapter 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now before I read verse 9, I want you to think for a moment. I want you to just try to imagine how much the Father loves Christ. I just try to imagine that for a second. How much the Father loves the Son. How much, I don't think we can. I don't think we can even imagine it. It's incomprehensible. It's beyond our mind's capability. Look at verse 9. Just as the Father, this is Christ, just as the Father has loved me, in the same way that the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. If we could get a hold of that, if we could grasp the love of Christ for us, then we would be invincible. How could we fear anything? If God be for us, who can be against us? In Luke, I'm coming to a close. I know y'all are like, all right, you're pushing it, Zach. Luke chapter 12. And I'm not going to read all of chapter 12, but do go back and read it. This is a picture of Christ's love for us. This is Him saying in verse 4, And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he kills has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than the sparrows. Verse 22. Now these are just verses I'm picking out of here that are mentioning fear or anxiety. But understand that in context, Christ is telling us about His love for us. And He said to His disciples, verse 22, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as what you shall eat, or for your body as what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storerooms nor barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan?" Understand that Christ loves you so much. Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." If we could grasp the love of Christ for us, fear would be no problem in our life. And anytime we do see fear or anxiety creeping up, it's only because we've forgotten about the love of Christ. And that moment, that's the moment when we need to preach the love of Christ to ourselves the most. Anytime you feel anxiety or fear about anything, remind yourself that you are resting in the love of Christ. That is what salvation is resting in the love of Christ. Now, in the story of Abraham and the story of Peter, we looked at the story of Peter and how Peter came back. Peter repented, as where Judas did not. Judas hung himself. And Peter, because Christ prayed for him, he came back, he repented, and we know all the works that Peter did after that. Now, how many of you know that we as believers have Christ interceding for us daily? Right now, He's praying for us. Every time we're in one of those circumstances, Christ is praying for us. And if Christ is praying for your faith, I guarantee you, your faith will not fail. And He's doing this because He loves you. Rest in that love. Rest in the love of Christ. Proverbs 29:25. I think I've read this before. "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord," and I will add, "the love of the Lord, he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Let's pray. Father, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that you loved us while we were yet sinners. That you came. And you, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf, that we might become the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As we look at Abraham's life, Lord, and we see in your word that he had many failing points. But in the end, in the book of Hebrews, he's only known as a man of faith. Because all of those mistakes, all of those failures were nailed on the cross with Christ. And we know that's the same for us because you love us in the same way you loved Abraham. Because we are his children. We are those descendants that you promised him, Lord. People of faith, people who trust in your love for us. I pray, Lord, help us to to understand your love more daily. Help us to remain in your word. Help us to love your word, that we may remain in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.